Now today in our study of the book of Revelation, we come to chapter 9 of that famous book, Revelation chapter 9. Now if you have your Bible open, you will see that it is quite a lengthy chapter. There are 21 verses in the chapter, and it deals with the sounding of the fifth trumpet, and then the sounding of the sixth trumpet. The first 12 verses have to do with the sounding of the fifth trumpet and the judgments associated with that. The remainder of the chapter deals with the sounding of the sixth trumpet. Before we read about these things, let us bow for prayer. Our Father, we acknowledge Thee once more. We realize that apart from the help and guidance of Thy Holy Spirit, we would never be able to understand the teaching of this wonderful book. But we thank Thee, our God, that the book has been unrolled, that it's the revelation of Jesus Christ, presenting Thy Son to each listener. We thank Thee again for the blessing that is promised to those who read and keep the prophecies of this book. Help us now as we read this chapter and seek to learn the lesson therefrom. We ask it in the Savior's precious name. Amen. Now, Revelation chapter 9, let me read the first 12 verses of the chapter. And the fifth angel sounded, I saw a star fall from heaven to the earth. To him was given the key to the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. And locusts came out of the smoke onto the earth. To them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. They were commanded that they should not harm the grass of the earth, any green thing, nor any tree, but only those men who do not have the seal of God in their forehead. It was granted to them that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. And in those days men will seek death and shall not find it. They will desire to die and death will flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts were like horses prepared for battle, and on their heads, as it were, crowns like gold. And their faces were like the faces of men, and they had hair like women's hair, and their teeth were like lion's teeth, and they had breastplates like breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots with many horses running into battle, and they had tails like scorpions, there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. They had a king over them who is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, but in Greek he has the name Apollyon. One woe is past. Behold, still two more woes are coming after these things. I'm sure the Lord will bless to us the reading of these verses. Now, I draw your attention once more to the closing verse of the previous chapter. After we examined the judgments following the blowing of the first four trumpets, the chapter finished with these words, And I looked, and I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, Woe! Woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, because of the remaining blasts of the trumpet of the three angels who are about to sound. You will remember that in the commencing of the study of chapter 8, we drew attention to the fact that the seven angels in the presence of God were prepared by receiving seven trumpets. Now the record of chapter 8 tells us of the blowing of the first four. I have also drawn attention to the fact that in connection with the seals there were four seals and then three seals. In connection with the trumpets there are four trumpets and then three trumpets. Now the last three trumpets are called woe trumpets. For the angel is pronouncing woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth. So, when the fifth trumpet is sounded, that introduces the first woe. And then, when the sixth trumpet is sounded, that will introduce the second woe. And then, when the seventh trumpet is sounded, it will introduce the third woe. Already judgments have fallen upon the earth, but oh, how intense will be the judgments when the last three trumpets are sounded. Here then, at the sounding of the fifth trumpet, we have the first woe. There are three things to be noticed in connection with this judgment of the fifth trumpet. First, we take note of the person with the key. Then we note the pit with its horrors and the punishment with its agony. Now, a person is referred to because verse 1 of chapter 9 says, "And I saw a star fall from heaven to the earth." But the idea of the star there indicates a person, maybe a person with a certain measure of power, because when you come to verse 2, it says, "And he opened." Verse 1 says, "And to him was given." So the one referred to as the fallen star must be a person, because it is said to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. Now, no definite explanation is given in the passage concerning the identity of this person, although it would seem that he is some apostate, because he has fallen from his original position, which of course could never be said concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, for the Lord Jesus Christ never fell. He is the eternal Son of the eternal God, holy, harmless, undefiled. But here in this particular passage, this person referred to is referred to as a star that fell, and fell from heaven to earth. Plain words, he is someone who has fallen from a great height, someone who has fallen from a high position, and he has fallen down to earth. In plain words, it appears to be a fallen angel. Now, this fallen one, this person, does not possess the key to the bottomless pit, for to him it was given. He is only carrying out what is permitted. God, in his permissive will, allows this unidentified person here, this apostate, to receive the key of the bottomless pit. So the person then occupying this position and having this power is some fallen apostate, fallen from his original position. Now we're introduced, therefore, in verse 2, to a pit with its horrors. Now from the open pit there proceeds a great delusion. This is indicated by the cloud of smoke which obscures the light. Way back in Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, when speaking of the time when the Lord shall come with trumpet sound and take his waiting people home, then he begins to tell us what would happen afterwards. That is, what would happen upon the earth after the Lord has come and has taken his own people home. And you know, Paul wrote two letters to the Thessalonians, and in his first epistle to the Thessalonians, he mentions the coming of the Lord in every chapter. This is the great hope of the church. But then, speaking of those that would be left on the earth, we are reminded that he shall send them strong delusion. They'll not believe the truth, but they will believe the lie. And with all deception of unrighteousness in those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they all might be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. That was stated by Paul, writing his letter to the church at Thessalonica. Here now, when we come to the book of the Revelation, and this book is being unrolled, and the future being made known, we find here there's the pit with its horrors, and a great delusion comes out of the pit. It's termed here a smoke. The smoke arose out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. So in plain words, here is a great delusion. This is indicated by the cloud of smoke which obscures the light. Now out from the smoke, that is out from the midst of this delusion, there comes the demons to deceive and hurt the earth dwellers who have not the seal of God upon them. The description of these evil hordes is most suggestive as given in verses 7 through 11. Now notice what he tells us about them. He tells us about their shapes, the shape of the locusts. They were like horses prepared for battle. You know, throughout the scriptures, horses are always indicative of warfare. Horses indicative of power, as it were. And these are war horses. Horses prepared for battle. Now notice on their heads, crowns like gold. In plain words, they indicate they have been given a position of power, the crowned. Now look at their faces. Their faces were like the faces of men. That is, they carried the look of intelligence. But note, verse 8. They had hair like women's hair, and their teeth were like lion's teeth. Oh, what a combination. Have you ever seen people with faces like men and hair like women? If so, my friend, I want you to notice where they came from. That is what was seen coming out of the pit. Oh, that men would be wise and not to imitate a thing like this. Then notice they had breastplates. They were like breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots with many horses running into battle. Oh, these have also tails, and the sting was in their tails. Now, here then we have a description of these evil hordes, and it is most suggestive. But now, the great thing to be learned from this particular verse, as it were, or this particular portion, is the punishment that they're able to inflict. This punishment with its agony. Verse 10. And they had tails like scorpions, there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. Notice they are under the power of a great enemy. I said that God has his kingdom, now the devil has his kingdom. If God has his angels to serve him, the devil has his angels, his demons, to serve him. Now notice the punishment and its agony. The description of the torment, it was the sting of a scorpion. Notice the desire of the tormented. They desired to die, but could not. Can you imagine people anxious to die? Verse 6 says, in those days men will seek death and shall not find it. That is, they're willing to die, and they cannot die. Oh, what an awful state to be in. What a torment to come upon men. Men who have rejected the Christ of God. Men who have rejected the message of the gospel. My friend, this old earth of ours is rushing on to a time of tribulation. And they were seen here, the torment as it is described, like the sting of the scorpion. There's the desire of the men, the desire to die but could not. Then there is the duration of the torment, 5 months. It's a blessing that it's limited. When we go back again to the Lord's description of these days, as recorded in Matthew 24, he says, these days shall be shortened. They weren't shortened, no flesh shall be left on the earth. And so here we have the sounding of the fifth trumpet and the judgment that will come upon this earth. The first woe is past, says verse 12. One woe is past, behold, still two more woes are coming after these things. Then the sixth angel gets ready to sound. Not the sounding of the sixth trumpet, there's a further judgment. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. And the four angels who had been prepared for the hour and day and month and year were released to kill a third of mankind. And the number of the army of the horsemen was 200 million. And I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision. Those who sat on them had breastplates of fiery red, hyacinth blue, and sulphur yellow. And the heads of the horses were like the heads of lions. And out of their mouths came fire, smoke, and brimstone. By these three plagues, a third of mankind was killed by the fire, by the smoke, and by the brimstone which came out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails, for their tails are like serpents, having heads, and with them they do harm. And the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons, idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, and wood, which can neither see, nor hear, nor walk. And they did not repent of their murders, nor their sorceries, nor their sexual immorality, nor their thefts. There we have the record now of the sounding of the sixth trumpet. Now, I want you to remember that when the judgments fell upon this earth in connection with the opening of the seals, when we saw the opening of the fourth seal, we read this. Now I looked and behold a pale horse, and the name of him who sat on it was Death, and hell followed with him. And power was given to them over a fourth part of the earth to kill with sword, with hunger, with death, and by the beasts of the earth. That was a fourth part. Now here when we come to the sixth trumpet, the judgment that falls here is going to affect the third part of mankind, according to verse 18. By these three plagues, a third of mankind was killed. Now, if you think of the population of the earth, and you take away a quarter of it, that leaves you with three quarters. Then you take away a third of what is left, that leaves you with a half of the population. Over and above these two distinct judgments, there were the other judgments that would account for more and more. you can see how the population of this earth will decrease as the time of tribulation goes on. The first move will be when the Lord calls His own people home. And then as each judgment falls upon this apostate world, you can realize how the population will decrease. Now here at the sounding of the sixth trumpet, we have another woe pronounced. Notice then at the sounding of this trumpet, there's a voice from the altar. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God. There's the voice from the altar. Then there is the vision of the horsemen. Then there is the voice of those who still live. Now look for a moment at the voice from the altar. The place of this voice was the golden altar. And that was the place where the prayers were offered to God. Now, the power of the voice, the four horns of the altar suggest its universal power. For it says he heard the voice from the four horns. You know, a horn in the Bible is always indicative of power. And when you have the four horns, four, you remember, is the number that relates things to earth. And so here we have the universal power of that voice that speaks from the golden altar. And then notice again the proclamation of the voice, loose the four angels. These angels cannot do anything till the restraining power is removed. Release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. The four angels who have been prepared for the hour and the day and the year were released to kill a third of mankind. You see how God acts in patience towards men? Before ever God lets loose with His judgments, He gives time for men to repent if they will. But here now the time has come, the restraining power is taken away. The four angels are let loose. Might I mention something here? When you read through from the Acts of the Apostles and through the Gospels and through the epistles written to the believers, the churches, you'll discover this, that angels were not used to proclaim the Gospel. Even in the Acts of the Apostles, it's very interesting that an angel was sent to a man at Caesarea to tell him to send for Peter, and Peter would come and make known the message to him. You see, it's not angels that do this. Men are used to preach the gospel. But men are not used in order to execute God's judgment when it comes to the final judgment. But God uses His heavenly beings, the angels. And here, angels come into being again. And they are going to be used of God in connection with His judgment. Notice this confederated power that's mentioned here, the vision of horsemen. This is a vision of many armies combined with one common purpose to invade and kill their enemies. Notice the character of the destructive power, fire, smoke, and brimstone. Notice the casualties in this great carnage, a third part of men. My friend, don't run away with the idea that the world has had a war to end all wars. The worst of all wars still lies before this old world of sinners. I don't know about you, my listening friend, but if you don't know the Savior, it's time you did. Notice now the vision of those who still lived. They repented not, but continued in all kinds of forbidden sins. First of all, there was demon worship. Then there was the destruction of life, that's murder. Then there was the deceiving one another, deceiving and being deceived. There was the defiling of the body, appropriating other men's goods, This is a picture of total abandonment to all kinds of evil under the control of the devil. Oh, my friend, listen. This old world today is rushing on. What about you? Have you trusted Christ? Hark, sinner, where God from on high doth entreat thee, and warnings with accent of mercy doth blend. Give ear to his voice, lest in judgment he meet thee. The harvest is passing, the summer will end.